Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Bird to your mother, it's time for another episode of Birds with Friends. Just some high-flying, ran-fast vertical stems of professors from Penn watching eagles eat and pray like Pazookies on birthdays. It's Philadelphia, Marissa, Bo, and Zach kicking it cooler than three penguins till Zach runs off with his valet keys. He's a real nuanced goose. Pull up a branch, get loose, it's time for some juice on some
Birds with Friends.
The early bird gets the worm, but prefers getting turned like a turn on some
Birds with Friends.
Marissa, Bo, and Zach are here to squawk. Don't miss the mistress talk on some
Birds with Friends. Are you trying to seduce me, Mr. Roseman?
That should be a drop for you. We should take away the whatever the dirt of the earth drop and let's turn the camera.
You got it, Zach.
Yes. Yeah. Let's turn the camera on to the Athletics Red Star reporter.
Hello, everybody. And welcome to Birds with Friends on a Monday afternoon, 1:01 p.m. Beowulf, Zach Berman here to recap the two practices we saw this weekend and look back and forward with round two of Turkey's To the Castle 2023. We will go position by position, talk about the real nitty-gritty of the roster decisions to come. But first, and most importantly, Zach, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good to see you, Bo. This is a big day on the Birds with Friends podcast.
Every day is a big day.
For two reasons. First off, Bo had a great story today, an A1 story. Make sure you check it out on Kevin Patullo and his daughter and how she's the coolest person affiliated with the Eagles. And then also, The Athletic has hired Diana Rossini, a noted BWF guest.
The official national reporter of Birds with Friends. Now it's like a doubly official.
Yes, yeah, senior national reporter. So senior NFL insider, I think, is the official title. So congratulations to Diana.
Congratulations to you.
On?
Well, now to be co-workers with Diana. What a coup for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone said, someone buy ZB a mic stand. I do have a mic stand. As I've discussed on this pod on a number of occasions, I study the film. Okay. And I go back and I listen to every one of our shows, which is like a degree of futility to a certain extent, or not futility. Sorry. I was getting a
masochism. Is that the,
yeah. Like I just hear myself getting ripped on the whole time, but that's okay. But in all seriousness,
better to get ripped on than ripped off.
There you go. That's true. I hear sometimes I hit the table. I hear a pounding of the table. And when I hold the mic, you don't hear that. So I'm actually trying to improve the audio quality for the room.
Mm. What have you been up to this weekend, Zach?
Oh,
just what an exhale. What a sigh. What an unburdening that was.
What have I been up to? I'm just
what a guttural.
My family's out of town. They're down the shore.
Okay.
And so as I practiced, had a good, nice lunch with you. An adventurous lunch, but it was
Yeah, it took you across the street to the Southeast Asian food market.
Yep. And then I've been tending to some personal matters, and I've been working on a story that's going to appear on The Athletic tomorrow.
Very exciting. All right, Zach, why don't we get into the Quactus report? The two practices this weekend were relatively light, as you sort of would expect coming off a game on Thursday. They were in pads on Saturday, shells on Sunday. What were the highlights? What do our listeners need to know about the practices this weekend?
So Saturday,
also, we have some, maybe we should send it to the Stone Cold Newsman, because we do have some a bundle of transactions that came about since our last podcast. So
bundle, absolutely.
With let's that in it. Mind, let's you know what, I have it right in my ear now. It's yes, we do. We have Zach Berman live from like a 20-mile radius outside the NovaCare complex.
The injury bug hit the Eagles hard on Thursday night, and it was reflected in the transactions the following day. Zach McPherson, Tyree Cleveland, and Noah Ellis were all waived injured by the Eagles, and they cleared waivers, so they revert to IR. So their seasons are finished, and they are on injured reserve for the Eagles. Another notable move, Miles Jack went on the reserve retired list. He retired after 2 weeks with the team. So he came, he saw, now he's preparing for the zombie apocalypse. But congratulations to Miles Jack on the career that he had. Also of note, this happened since we last spoke. This was on Saturday. The Eagles released Greedy Williams, who is going to come up in our podcast in probably like 20, 30 minutes. And Ty Zettner, the punter. So now the Eagles are down to one punter, Aaron Sipos, and the cornerback depth chart looks a little different than we thought going into camp, that is. And then they signed defensive tackles Robert Cooper, Marvin Wilson, and Caleb Sanderson, and linebackers Tyreek Maddox Williams and Quentin Bell. Back to you in the studio, Bo.
Thank you, Zach. One small clerical thing there. I don't know that, for instance, Tyree Cleveland's season is over. They could still, you could reach an injury settlement with those guys, release them, then they could sign somewhere else, or he could then come back to the practice squad or something like that. Obviously, Zach McPherson's season is over because he tore his Achilles. All right. What about the practices this weekend, Zach? Any depth chart movement? Any highlight plays that you think the sickos should know about?
Yeah, Darius Slay and James Bradberry both had good practices on Saturday, or highlight-worthy practices, interceptions on Saturday. That's what stood out. Sunday, I thought...
Was Bradberry's really... on Hurts as well? I don't know that I saw that one. Slay's was a nice play. It was thrown a little bit behind Devontae Smith. It was one of the... it was either the first or second true interception that Jalen Hurts has thrown all summer. Mm-hmm.
And then I thought Sunday was a really strong Jalen Hurts performance. I thought he looked good yesterday. And at linebacker, it's been a lot of Zach Cunningham with the ones. Looks like he's closing in on that job, although we'll get to that in a bit. And otherwise, nothing major notable. Am I missing anything as far as?
No, I think that's about right. The most interesting thing is at safety, but we can wait till we get there as well. How about anything just to check the box from Sean Desai or Brian Johnson, who we heard from?
Nothing jumps to mind as news.
Sorry, I'm trying to catch you off guard.
Yeah, and nothing that jumps. I mean, I always enjoy talking to them. And getting their perspective. Brian Johnson doubled down on what Nick said post game, which is Marcus Mariota's their QB2. Tanner McKee's not. They're happy with Tanner McKee, but Marcus Mariota's their backup quarterback. And then otherwise, no. Sean decides keeping it close to the vest at this point.
Okay. All right, let's get into this. Here's how we're going to do this, Zach. Now, you remember we went through the turkeys to the castle exercise at the very beginning of camp, and the idea was that we were going to revisit this at the end of camp. We've now reached essentially the end of camp. We have one set of joint practices, just one practice tomorrow with the Colts on Tuesday, and then the game on Thursday, and that's it. So we are going to answer the same questions that we answered then, and this will tell us how much things have changed. But we're also going to use this as our opportunity to talk about each position and the roster math at hand here. So we start at quarterback, and do you believe that it is set in stone that it will be Jalen Hurts, Marcus Mariota, Tanner McKee, all on the roster, those three guys, or do you think there is any possibility that potentially Marcus Mariota is elsewhere?
Well, I think it's set in stone that Jalen Hurts is on the roster. I still think
you really like that. You thought you had a good joke.
I thought I was going to get more of a reaction. Of all the jokes, that one doesn't get sold.
Yeah, I mean, as a fan of comedy, I thought that was meager.
So I think that Marcus Mariota is still the number two quarterback, but what I will allow is that if there's an extended absence, perhaps they operate a little differently. Like if Jalen Hurts is out for the season at some point, maybe then they say, all right, well, let's reconfigure the offense to Tanner McKee. But I do think Marcus Mariota is going to be the second quarterback for each game, and Tanner
McKee. But just in turn, we're trying to narrow this to the roster, the 53-man roster projection that is coming, that cuts that they need to make. You think these three are
all three? Yes, all three are on the team. Yes, correct. Okay.
You don't think there's any chance that Marcus Mariota is traded or released or anything like that?
Well, I never say never. I suppose there's a chance. I know there's teams like Cincinnati out there looking for backup quarterbacks, but I think that the Eagles are going to stick to the experience of Marcus Mariota this season.
Okay, I think I agree with you. Now, our question on this one for Turkeys to the Castle was who will be the quarterback three, Ian Book or Tanner McKee? I can go first. I have 100 turkeys on Tanner McKee and 0 on Ian Book.
I have 100 turkeys on Tanner McKee and 0 on Ian Book. And this is a departure from you win this one because at the beginning of camp, you had 65-35 for McKee. I had 51-49. So
yes.
Are we keeping score in that regard?
Well, we're not keeping, we'll keep score once these decisions are made, but yes, presumably I'm going to pick up 14 points there.
Yes.
Okay. Running back is interesting, Zach. I think that we would agree that DeAndre Swift and Kenny Gainwell are safely on this team. That's two. Then you've got probably three guys for two spots. It could be one spot, but between Boston Scott, Rashad Penny, Trey Sermon, roster-wise, before we get to the question for Turkeys to the Castle, do you think it's settled here? Do you think my lean right now is Scott and Penny both make the team, even though Penny has no guaranteed money and Trey Sermon is waived? Trey Sermon is injured right now. It's also worth adding. How do you feel about this position?
I feel the same way you do. I think Trey Sermon's going to be waived. I think the top four are going to stay. As I've said, the Eagles can cut Penny or Scott and bring them back 36 hours later after making some IR transactions, but I don't anticipate that occurring right now. I still think that Sermon's most likely waived, and the Eagles go with Gainwell, Swift, Penny, and Scott.
I think so too. I'm not 100% sure Penny makes the team. I'm not 100% sure Boston Scott makes the team, but I think they both do sneak through. I think that's your room.
What are you 100% sure on?
Kenny Gainwell makes the team.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree with that.
Jalen Hurts makes the team. I think he's safely on.
Boom! You're going to be here all night.
All right. Now the Turkeys to the Castle question here. Who will be RB1 in week one? Now, I believe we defined this as snaps while the game was like within two touchdowns before the fourth quarter, something like that. So it's your turn to go first. You famously, we know we're early in on DeAndre Swift here. How do you react now?
Yeah, I'm going hard on the early money here. So I had 50-25-25 back in the beginning of this
50
exercise.
On Swift, 25-25 Gainwell, Penny, and we also had other, and you had 0 there.
Yep. And I'm going to go now with 60 on Swift.
Okay.
40 on Gainwell, 0 on Penny, 0 on the other.
Okay. In the beginning, I had 35-35 on Swift and Gainwell and 25 on Penny. I'm now going 51 on Swift, 44 on Gainwell, 5 on Penny. So if it's Swift, you will win some points there. If it's Gainwell, I will win some points. I think What I've been saying all along is the way that I continue to feel, that the Eagles want it to be DeAndre Swift's backfield. I think early on they will try to make it so, but I think over the course of the season it will become Kenny Gainwell's plurality of snaps and touches.
I will bet you some Eastern Asian cuisine on that.
On what?
That I think it's going to be Swift.
All season long?
Yes, barring him getting injured.
Well, but no, but that's part of it.
Okay. Well, I thought you meant based on performance, they'll just trust Gainwell more.
No, I think injury is absolutely baked in here.
Okay. No, I would still. So we went to the Eastern Asian food.
Southeast Asian.
Southeast Asian. Okay. I need to be more specific geographically.
And it has a name. The
Eastern
the
Asia. Market. That's true. Eastern Asia could include China. So we were Southeast Asia. We were Vietnam. We were. Yeah. And so we had some good skewers. I will bet you a chicken skewer, which we weren't able to get yesterday because it was sold out, that it's going to be DeAndre Swift's backfield.
And how are we defining that?
Most snaps at the end of the season.
Okay. Deal. This is to be precise, this is a $2 bet.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Fair enough. All right. Next up is an interesting one. In terms of roster math, I think wide receiver is very interesting. And I think this is a place where they could potentially borrow from, especially right at cutdowns. I think like Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown and Devontae Smith are safely on this team. Then you've got Quez Watkins and Olamide Zaccheaus. I think Olamide is on. I think Quez is on too, but Quez is injured right now. So that's going to change the way that our turkeys go here for this week one conversation. But do they need a fifth receiver? Does Britton Covey need to be on this team? You know, Britton Covey didn't make the team out of camp last year and was a game day elevation for the first 3 weeks of the season as the returner. He's been injured. He hasn't practiced in over a week. Tyree Cleveland was the other guy who was pushing. He's obviously injured now. Joseph Ngata has had some flashes. I don't believe that he's meriting a roster spot right now. So I kind of view wide receiver as a spot where they might go four initially and then claim somebody off waivers. I think they're figures to be somebody with a little bit more juice, a little bit more upside, who is waived from another team that they can add as a potential lottery ticket.
Yes, I'm with you there because, I mean, when you first posed the question, I was saying, well, they're going to have five receivers on the roster, right? But on that initial 53, perhaps it's four. I don't think Britton Covey gets claimed in that he went unclaimed last year. He was on the practice squad, was not signed off the practice squad. The Eagles then promoted him, but he hasn't played yet in the preseason. I don't know if he'll play Thursday night this week. So it's not as if teams have additional preseason film. I suppose they have all the film from last season on him, but it would surprise me if he gets claimed. So I think that's one where they can go through waivers, keep another position stronger, and then see who's cut elsewhere. And you can always sign Covey back to the 53. But I think this is the brilliant mind of Bo winning back-to-back. Was it back-to-back or back-to-back? Back-to-back.
Back-to-back-to-back.
Back-to-back-to-back.
Yeah. Three. Tom Emanski and Bo Wolf, equal footing.
You're like Pat Riley, right?
Which has never been done on the beat, as far as we know.
As far as we know. So yeah, I think that's something that they could do because I don't believe anyone outside of the top four has really distinguished themselves to be like a no doubt roster player.
I agree. Now the question at hand for Turkeys to the Castle is who will be the wide receiver three in week one? This is obviously hindered by Quez Watkins nursing a hamstring injury. I don't know that I've even seen him, you know, running on the sidelines recently. So at the moment, it's Olamide Zaccheaus. How do you, aside from the Turkeys to the Castle question, which is about week one, how do you view this big picture? Do you think, I know you've got that nugget in your holster on Olamide Zaccheaus's ADOT, but in terms of how these two guys compare in the offense, how do you see this playing out?
Oh, I think Quez is the number three, But I think you're going to see them move the receivers around more, the formation this year than you saw last year. Quez was mostly a slot guy last year. And I think you can see Quez on the outside this year. I think you can see Devontae inside. You can see AJ inside. So I think that's one way they'll try to get more from Quez, is I think he's better on the outside than in the slot. But Zacchaeus, I think, is going to be more of a depth piece for them. And I still think Quez is the number three guy. And I actually thought he looked solid early the first week in camp. These weeks, it's been a busy month.
But yeah,
I thought he looked solid the first week.
I guess it's a little bit odd that they haven't replaced the like the physicality of Zach Pascal, that guy who they had on the field, like, you know, to be the dirty work guy, because I you know, Zacchaeus is a little bit too slight to fill that role. It seems like a role that should be easily filled, and maybe it's as simple as, you know, that's Grant Calcaterra or something like that. But just in terms of the way the things that they did on offense last year, you know, Pascal was involved in those things to some degree. They don't necessarily have a like for like replacement there, but maybe that's also something that's coming.
You're correct. And they also, they lack size outside. Like, if something happened to AJ, look, if something happens to your all pro wide receiver, you're in trouble as it is. But just in terms of that body type, they don't have that at all. And so
size ain't nothing but a mindset, baby.
What's the size? It's nothing. You don't have to tell me that.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So I agree with you there. And Pascal at least provided that, right? Like, he wasn't AJ Brown, but he gave you some of that muscle, some of that strength.
All right. The question here is, who will be the wide receiver three week one? We both had 60-35 for Quez. I'm going to go 52-48 for Quez, just because of the, we're doing week one. I don't know if he's going to be ready week one. We'll see.
So for this here, I did write this down. I had 60-35-5. Okay. And now I changed that to 60-40.
Okay. Next up, tight end. Roster wise, Goddard, I would say safely on. You agree?
Similar to Hurts, probably. Yeah.
That was good. See,
I got a laugh.
You came
that
back
time.
To it. You came back to it, and you nailed it. That was nice.
Boom.
Jack Stoll is on the team. I think Grant Calcaterra is on the team, and then I think Tyree Jackson is right now, in my estimation, on the outside looking in, but firmly on the bubble. I don't know if they're willing to just have seven pass catchers through the initial cutdowns. That's what I have right now, presuming that they're going to add somebody off waivers. But the question here is tight end two. Well, actually, let's stick to the roster first. Do you think, do you agree that Tyree Jackson is, do you have him on? Do you have him off right now?
I have Tyree Jackson off right now, but I can be talked into it.
Okay. Do you have Dan Arnold on?
No, I do not.
You have Brady Russell on.
No, that was a great touchdown celebration the other night, though.
Nice touchdown from Brady Russell. Coming on a little bit.
Oh, Kemsky called it first. You can't claim it.
I am not trying to take any credit for Brady Russell. Kemsky was okay. Kemsky was trying to lie to me and say that Brady Russell is having this monster camp, which I don't agree with, but I think he's ticketed for the practice squad.
Don't mess with the astute eyes of Bo Wolf.
Jimmy knows. Tight end two is the turkeys to the castle here. It's your turn to go first. Jack Stoll, Grant Calcaterra, Tyree Jackson, Dan Arnold. We will define this the same way. Snaps in week one. Who you got?
70 Stoll, 30 Calcaterra, 0 Jackson, 0 Arnold.
I'm going 90. Okay. Stoll, 10 Calcaterra for week one.
I can see that too, actually. I mean, against that Patriots front, you know, you're probably going to want a little more blocking prowess. So you're probably going to win there.
Also, you got to remember, like, week one, it's kind of finicky. You don't know what to expect from the opposing defense. And so you want to make sure that there are guys out there who Jalen Hurts trusts. And we know that Hurts trusts Stoll.
I was going to say the thing about when you play a Bill Belichick team is he creates this scheme, a new scheme every week for the opponent that they're playing. So you never know what Bill Belichick's going to throw out at you.
Well, it's actually interesting, though, because Bill Belichick's going to know that Jalen Hurts trusts Jack Stoll. Mm. And so you wonder if the Eagles try to zag when they're expecting Bill to think they're going to zig, because the one thing we know Belichick does is he finds out what you do best and he takes that away.
That's
so
true.
If the Eagles know that Belichick's going to try to take away the stole Hurts trust connection, then potentially they put him on the sideline and try to totally throw off the Patriots and make it a grand cockatera game.
That's there you go. I mean, all you got to do is put Jalen Mills over top, right?
Mm. Okay. Offensive line, I'm really unsure how this is going to go in terms of the roster cuts.
When you're unsure, that's like, that says something.
Because here's the deal. You've got your five starters. We presume that Cam Jurgens is the starting right guard. We'll get to that in a second. Tyler Steen is on the team. Jack Driscoll's on the team. That's seven. After that, I don't know who deserves to be on this roster. I would say right now, who's the next best offensive lineman on the team? I would say it's a toss-up between Sua Opeta and Fred Johnson, who's had a pretty solid summer. Josh Sills has not played well the last week, but obviously the Eagles saved a spot for him for a reason when he came back.
You love yourself some Josh Sills.
I don't love myself some Josh Sills. I think the Eagles like Josh Sills. I think they kept him last year because they thought he was a good long-term development piece. They obviously held the spot for him. They inserted him right away into the second team left guard when he came back. I thought he looked better the first couple days than he did over the last week. He was very bad in the game. Then you've got your Dennis Kellys, your Josh Andrewses, who I don't think will be on the week one roster because of the guaranteed contracts for them. Those guys could probably stick on the practice squad. Same goes for Julian Good-Jones, who I actually think has been solid. You know, Tyrese Robinson, Roderick Johnson, these guys. Like, I don't know. Right now, I think I would probably have it be Sua, and maybe they claim someone. I think this is another spot where I expect them to claim somebody with some upside, sort of the Jack Anderson prototype from 2 years ago. They're going to carry 10 offensive linemen because, you know, we care about what we care about. In terms of having the 16 spots in the practice squad, I think they can get away with having just 8 offensive linemen. And I'm not sure who I think that 8th will be, if it will be Sua or Fred Johnson or Sills.
I think Sua. Now, the Fred Johnson point is a valid one. And Lane Johnson identified Fred Johnson as someone who's having a good summer. Mm. Might just be Johnson and Johnson sticking together here.
Mm, baby powder.
Yeah. Jets power. Right.
Yes, that's right. Would you say that baby powder is the first product that comes to your mind in the Johnson & Johnson umbrella?
No, Vaseline does.
Vaseline. Interesting.
Is that's Johnson & Johnson, correct?
I'm sure they make it.
Yeah. If not, I put the wrong thing together.
Baby actually, soap. No,
like, baby soap, I would say. Yeah, baby soap. The Johnson & Johnson baby soap. That's what I would say for Johnson. And then
I think we could take a little bit of a turn here and try to psychoanalyze the Vaseline thing. I don't know if you want to do that, but
I mean, what do you mean psychoanalyze that? I want to make sure it's Johnson & Johnson. Otherwise, I gave it's actually not even Johnson & Johnson. It's Unilever. So give a
not KY. That's not what you're talking about.
An unnecessary plug. No, you know why? What? No, I think I put it together because I was thinking of the Johnson & Johnson baby soap, which has the yellow container, right? Mm-hmm. And I think I was conflating the yellow containers probably, if that makes sense.
Okay.
You know, so but that took a weird turn there.
Yeah, I mean, think about all the money Johnson & Johnson is spending, and for you to think their top product is is Vaseline. They're gonna be throwing papers in the head office there.
Sorry about that.
Don't be sorry. You spoke your truth. Okay. So you think it will be Sua? That's your guess right now.
Yes, I think it'd be Sua. Yes.
Okay. Our question
a little
here.
Thrown off by the Johnson & Johnson discussion. I'm not gonna lie. That's what you get on Birds of Friends.
Expect the unexpected. The question here is who's going to be the starting right guard week one. We both had 75 on Cam Jurgens to start camp. I had 20 on Steen, 5 on other. You had 25 on Steen, 0 on other. Where do you stand now?
So I'm going out on a limb here.
Or maybe it's 100 first, but yeah.
Oh, sorry. Well, you asked me. Okay.
Yeah, I'd ask you. So you can go ahead.
100 on Cam Jurgens, 0 okay. on Tyler Steen, 0 on other.
I went 98-2, just holding on a small little.
Ah.
But that was probably silly.
The beautiful mind there. Stoutland goes all summer with him at first team, and then all of a sudden throws yeah. Belichick off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel about the no backup center on the game day roster possibility? You know, the old having to change two positions instead of one if Jason Kelce goes down.
Play your best five. I don't worry about moving parts. Play your best five.
Yeah, I think I feel that way too. Like, you're not going to convince me that they're going to be better off if Jason Kelce goes down mid-game, you know, bringing in Josh Andrews.
Exactly.
Than if they let Jurgens has to play center and Tyler Steen has to play right guard. Like, I think they're fine.
I bet Jurgens would actually be relieved. He'd be like, oh, yes, I get to play center. Right? What was the anecdote he gave this spring? Like, Kelce called him. He's like, sorry, man, I'm coming back another year.
Yeah, yeah.
So
it's like, you don't have to be sorry. Do what you got to do.
I can empathize with an over-apologer and with someone who over-apologizes.
I gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Defensive tackle. Here's where I think the borrowing from other positions might come in handy. Moro Ojomo right now has a concussion. We don't know the degree of seriousness to that, whether it could potentially merit putting him on injured reserve for the year. That seems like it would be potentially rash, but it would keep him on the roster. Right now, I think I'm going to have 7 defensive tackles making this team. I'm going to have Ojomo and Marlon Tuipulotu and Kentavious Street all making the team, in addition to Milton Williams, Fletcher Cox, Jordan Davis, and Jalen Carter. How do you view that roster-wise?
I believe Ojomo makes it. I believe Marlon T makes it. Street, I think he makes it, but I'm not positive on Street because of the vested veteran component.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's right.
I'm leaning towards Street making it. Yeah. I mean, the Ojomo injury, I mean, most importantly, you hope he's okay, but that does throw a little bit of a complication here, if you will.
I agree. All right, our question here for Turkeys to the Castle. Who will be defensive tackle 5 in week 1? Kentavious Street, Marlon Tuipulotu, Moro Ojomo, and Noah Ellis were our options here at the start of camp. I will go first. I have 48 on Kentavious Street and 52 on Marlon Tuipulotu, 0 on the other 2 for week 1.
So you're convinced that Ojomo is injured for week 1.
No, I just don't think that he'll be week 1.
Gotcha.
He's going to be less experienced than the other guy no matter what.
Yeah.
So okay. I don't think it will be him.
I'm going 60 on Marlon T, 30 on K Street, 10 on Moro Ojomo.
Is K Street, is that like a DC thing?
Well, that is a DC. That is a DC thing. Yeah.
But is that like a famous D? Is that like the
Like the lobbyist street?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or is that
the law firm? Is it the law firm or the lobbyist? I think it's the law firm. Oh, I think it's the lobbyist street. I worked on 15th and L.
Taking L's all day.
That's where the Washington Post building was. And
flex.
Huge flex. Very, very proud of that time in my career. And I used to walk. Connecticut Ave. I used to go into the office every day, and I mean, I was like, it was like straight out of a movie. It was like, I was starry eyed. I was like, this is where Woodward and Bernstein worked. Okay. It was every day. Like I would stand outside that building, like breathe in, you know, like before the national anthem of a game, you know, where it's like,
yeah,
I'm walking into the Washington Post building. It was, yeah, it was so cool to go through those doors. Yeah, so that was a neat experience. I remember my I can go down memory lane, but we had we had lunch. All the interns had lunch with Bob Woodward. The first, as part of our orientation. And I mean, I've never been more starstruck in my entire life, other than maybe I covered an NCAA regional and Rick Riley was in the scrum. And that was up there as
like
well.
Pulling alligator teeth.
It's a good line.
You fancy yourself more of a Redford or more of a Dustin Hoffman?
In terms of looks or in terms of the character in the movie?
However you want to take it.
I don't know how to interpret that. I think one would probably compare me more looks wise to Dustin Hoffman, I would say. I probably have more of those characteristics, short, you know. But
I think that's our classic rapport here.
Yeah.
You know, Hoffman and Redford.
In terms of journalistic sensibilities, I'm probably more a Woodward than a Bernstein.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Why is that?
We don't need to get into that right now. But I mean,
they
both had the biggest story they both had the biggest story.
Who else was in your intern class?
I can tell you everybody if you want.
Compare your careers.
No, I wouldn't do that. They all have great careers in their own rights. The two other sports interns that year were Mark Vieira and Andrew Astleford, and enjoyed spending a lot of time with both of them that summer.
Where are they now?
Living happy lives.
How do you know?
I keep in touch. Facebook. Yeah, okay. Things like that. Yeah.
And Facebook can be deceiving, you know. You're putting out the happy stuff, but we don't know what's really going on
inside. Are you on Facebook?
No.
Okay, so you don't even know. Yeah.
I'm familiar with Facebook.
You get to a certain age where it's just like it's just pictures of your kids, you know?
Yeah, I mean, what's for me on Facebook? What do I need Facebook for? Poke people? I mean, like,
what's that? Yeah. Yeah, you like to keep track.
You like to poke? You still have the poke?
I don't know that. I've never utilized such function. So
you've never poked
on Facebook? No, I've never.
When you were in college, you never gave a poke?
No, I would just talk to the person. Yeah.
Wow, yeah. What a flat! I mean, that's the biggest brag I've ever heard. The guy's above the poke.
Yeah, I wasn't shy. I would just go up and talk. Yeah.
Okay.
It's like an interview.
Or a ride with an Uber driver.
Touche.
Okay. Let's talk about Edge, Zach.
Wait, can we say what Kent just said? Kent, do we have permission here?
Kent says, we have a break. Oh.
Yeah, there's a private chat. Kent says, I poked every girl at my uni.
Wow, every girl.
Yeah, good work, Kent.
That's a lot of finger work, a lot of poking. Okay. All right. Let's. We do have to take a break, which we didn't know. So let's take a break now. We'll come back. We'll talk about the edge rushers, the linebackers, the corners, the safeties, the punters, and what other famous movie stars Zach thinks he's like. All right. Back on Burns with Friends. Let's talk edge now, Zach. I think it's fair to say Hassan Reddick is on the Jalen Hurts level. He'll be on this team. You think he's going to be ready for Week 1 with this thumb surgery he had?
I do. That's the
too
word.
Too much poking.
that's the word behind the scenes is that he'll be back Week 1. Now, he might have to play with something on that thumb, but I think he'll be on the field Week 1.
And you got Josh Sweat on the team. You've got Brandon Graham on the team. And then you've got a bit of a quandary. You've got Derek Barnett. You've got Janarius Robinson. You could potentially throw Patrick Johnson in the mix there, or even Kyren Johnson, who had an emergency appendectomy that has him on the shelf right now. How do you spread your turkeys between Barnett, Janarius Robinson, and other?
Well, just one omission there was I did not mention Nolan Smith. I believe Nolan Smith.
Oh, yeah. We don't. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Nolan Smith is there.
He's the fourth edge rusher.
Yes.
So I think it's going to be Barnett. Who, by the way, I spoke to the other night. Nice catching up with Derek. I think it's going to be Barnett, but I think Robinson has impressed some. I think this is not a position that's still up for grabs, Patrick Johnson, I liked early in camp, and he's back at it now. But this one's a little more ambiguous than I thought going into camp. I had 65, 30, and 5, and now I'm going to go with – I'm not even going to go with a majority here. I'm going to go with 40, 30, and 30.
Wow, interesting.
Because I think a Patrick Johnson has more potential.
Interesting. I'm going – this is going to be a huge swing here because I'm going 80 on Barnett and 20 on Janarius Robinson. I don't know that I would say that Derek Barnett has had a great camp. I would probably say it's been a touch disappointing, but the way they restructured his contract felt like it was guaranteeing him a spot on the team. And I think there's more of a track record of, you know, productive NFL play, certainly from him than the others. You know, what was interesting, an interesting answer from Sean Desai the other day. And I was asking him this question with Miles Jack in mind. And so it was interesting that he said this before the news broke that Jack had retired. But I was asking him about, like, when you've got these guys who come in, these veterans with track records, like, you know, you can watch their tape from last year. How do you balance, you know, that versus what you're seeing that's right in front of you? And I thought it was kind of telling the way that he said, you know, in this league, in the National Football League, it's all about what you can do for me right now. And so maybe that's a mark against Derek Barnett, but I also don't think that Janarius Robinson has been, you know, lights out or anything like that.
No, he is not. I would agree there.
Okay.
I hear you on the Barnett thing, and the organization clearly restructured his deal so they could have him back. So there's a debate in the chat. Who is more presidential, Bo or Zach? And Dibbin here says Bo, because Zach looks like he is 14.
You don't need to be reading the chat, you know, so much. You could focus on the show, but
there are customers. This is
and the show is what they are buying. Is what
if someone is watching our show at 1:42 in the afternoon, I owe it to them to engage in what they're into.
Not if they're saying nasty things to you. You don't need to give them the time of day. Like a Cowboys troll who's in the thing, or if it's the porn bots who come in, like, you know,
have a question.
They don't deserve
this,
go ahead.
Because look, I get told often that I look younger than I am. Okay. At what point does that become a compliment? Like, I think in your 20s, that's like an insult, you know, early 30s, that's an insult. By this point in your life, you know, I start to think that's like a compliment, correct? You know,
I would say so.
Now 14 is not what you're shooting for, but
you never on any side, you never want to be told you look like you're 14.
No. But I was told by like a television executive one time that like you look a little young, and I was saying, well, at some point in my life, that's going to be considered a compliment.
I'm going to say like 33 years old.
Then it
becomes a compliment.
Then it becomes a compliment. Okay. Do you get you're younger than you look, older than you look, or as you look?
I always get more handsome than expected.
Ah, that's fair. Good for you.
Old either. Although, you know what I get is the grays on the side.
Okay. I'm actually starting to get those as well. Yeah.
I think you've got a wonderful head of hair.
That's always the, I think that's like a dad joke. I didn't have these before I had a daughter, you know.
Throwing Sloan under the bus. It seems unfair. As if Reed's Mr. Perfect, you know.
No, I think it's like a classic father line.
Yeah. These kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Linebacker, very fascinating to me. N'Kobe Dean is on the team. I think Zach Cunningham is on the team. Christian Ellis is on the team. That's three. That might be it. Nicholas Morrow, certainly in the mix. I think he's looked better over the past 2 weeks than he did in the beginning of camp. He still gets some rotational reps with the ones. I think he could be the kind of guy who they carry on the initial roster and then whack once they get a waiver claim. I also think if you're looking for a shock inclusion on the 53-man roster, I think Ben Van Sumeren is in the mix.
Ooh. Why would you reveal that on the pod? That could have been that could have been like the
because I owe it to our customers to tell them the truth.
There you go.
Okay, I think that is a possibility. It would not blow me away. I think that I'm leaning towards that not happening because I think that they will think that he can get through on waivers, and you don't want to make you don't want to recommit the original sin of the Casey Tuhill fiasco when you keep a guy and then. By keeping him, you signal to the league that he's worth keeping, and then you release him, and he gets claimed on waivers. Whereas if you had not kept him initially, he probably could have stuck on the practice squad. We can't make that mistake again.
I got to say, Birds with Friends is the only place in the world where that's referred to as the Casey Tuhill fiasco. Even though Casey Tuhill's been playing in the NFL ever since, and they should have found a way to keep him, I don't think the organization looks at that as like a fiasco.
They should.
The Casey Tuhill fiasco.
By the way, do you remember when Dominican Sue retired midway through last year?
He did not retire midway through last year.
Oh, so it wasn't the exact same when they signed two linebackers as when they signed two defensive tackles.
It was not. No.
Okay. But right now I think I'm going to have them keeping three linebackers. The question at hand, though, is who will be linebacker 2 week 1? We'll just define this as total snaps week 1. Will it be Christian Ellis? Will it be Nicholas Morrow? Or will it be other? You had a little advantage on other here. You had 30 and I had 21. It's my turn to go first, actually, so I will go first. I have it as 0 on Nicholas Morrow for week 1. And I know that there's the traction right now is all Zach Cunningham, but I'm sticking. I'm going 55 on Christian Ellis and 45 on Zach on other.
Bo continues his anti-Zach campaign. Okay, I'm rolling with the Z's. Let's go with other for 60.
Wait a second. Are you doing this live?
Yes.
You can't be doing it live after I've already gone. You can't. It's an invitation to cheat.
Okay, I promise you, I wasn't cheating. I'm not good enough at game theory to adjust my prediction based on yours. Going into the summer, I had other at 30 because I thought there was a chance they would add. They did add. They added two guys. One retired. One is playing with the second team right now. I'm rolling with the guy who's playing with the second team right now, Zach Cunningham. I'm going with 60 for Zach Cunningham. I'm going with 40 for Christian Ellis. I'm going 0 for Nicholas Morrow because I don't think you want to guarantee that salary. I think even if they like Morrow, they can cut him, practice squad him, then bring him back after week 1.
I think that's right. Okay, we'll just let you go first in these from now on.
No, I will write it down right now.
You can do them live if you're going first because then you don't know what mine are.
Gotcha. Well, this one, I mean, this one I can get like this one's pretty definitive in my mind.
Well, yeah, the next one, yeah, but that's an easy one. But okay. we're not there yet. Okay, how do you feel about roster? Okay, you already said the Morrow thing that could carry him. Okay, let's talk corner. The McPherson injury has changed things here in terms of the roster math. You've got Slay and Bradbury and Maddox and Ringo on the team. I think we agree that Josh Jobe is on this team. Do you carry a sixth? Is it Mario Goodrich as the backup slot? Is it Eli Ricks? Is it Mekhi Garner, who is also injured right now? I think that they will keep a sixth corner. Right now, I'm leaning Ricks, but
yeah, I think this is where the Eagles use. I think this is where the Eagles use their practice squad. They showed last year that with practice squad elevations, they consider those last few spots on the roster as just keeping prospects who they want to have on the team. They don't want to expose. They did it with Trey Sermon last year. They did it with Janarius Robinson last year, right? Guys here, they don't have a role for you, but you think they have some upside and you think they'll be claimed if you waive them. And of those two, between Goodrich and Ricks, I think there's more of a chance that Ricks gets claimed. Now, that said, Ricks was an undrafted free agent who didn't get signed for a whole lot of money, right? But he did have that pick six against the Ravens. It was telegraphed to him, but you could see he's got some ball skills. There's a bit of a pedigree there. So I think that Ricks would be the sixth guy.
I think so too. And I think if you're playing, how do we keep both guys? I think it's more likely that Ricks would get claimed off waivers. What he put on tape is more impressive. And I don't think it's just the pick six. I think you saw those ball skills, the way he had a couple PBUs in the second game. He finds the ball much better than in direct contrast to Keely Ringo, who you know could not find the ball. I think he's come on a little bit, and I think Goodrich, because he was on the practice squad all last year, I don't know that he's going to get claimed. So that's the way I'm leaning right now. The question that we have for Turkeys to the Castle, who will be cornerback four? You were big on Greedy Williams at the time. It's Greedy Williams, Keely Ringo, Josh Jobe, and other. I think we're going to have the same thing here. What do you got?
100 for Josh Jobe. 0 for Greedy Williams, who's already been cut. 0 for Keely Ringo, who's a developmental player. And 0 for other, because they don't have someone usurping Josh Jobe.
I agree. I also have 100 on Josh Jobe. I think if the Eagles could pick anyone on the roster to violently stub their toe in the middle of the night, thereby opening up the door to an injured reserve, I think it would probably be Keely Ringo.
That's the old Donnell Pumphrey, as I call it. Mm. You know, Pumphrey was at practice one day, and then all of a sudden,
it's like skipping around.
Yeah, week one against Washington, 2017. Yeah, all of a sudden that hamstring. Exactly. Come on, Donnell. Gets placed on IR. Mm. So,
and then he's at practice the next day, like skipping around.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, safety. Now, I alluded to this earlier, but the depth chart stuff from the last couple days, I think the most interesting thing that we have seen is Justin Evans getting the plurality of snaps with the first team defense opposite Reed Blankenship. I think if you had asked us a week ago, we probably would have guessed that he was the fifth guy in that pecking order. I think he is on the team, which is a bit of a surprise. But this whole conversation is the same thing we've talked about with Sidney Brown, right? We assume that eventually, at some point this season, the Eagles want their starting safeties to be Reed Blankenship and Sidney Brown. So the question is, for a team with Super Bowl aspirations, are the December and January Eagles better off if Sidney Brown is starting week one and has more time to grow? Or are they better off if he's developing on the side and it's Justin Evans or Terrell Edmonds or even Kayvon Wallace out there? And maybe that gets them, that's a difference of a win that gets them home field advantage or something like that. I don't know how they feel about that philosophically. A week ago, I would have put more turkeys on Sidney Brown starting week one. The closer we get, I'm starting to lean a little bit more towards it being a veteran week one opposite Reed Blankenship and Sidney Brown waiting in the wings, maybe with like some specialty packages that he's on the field for.
I still think Sidney Brown. Now we are getting close. You are correct. This is, if that run was going to happen, you would think it would have happened by now, but I still think Sidney Brown. So where I was wrong going into this is I'm looking at my numbers. I slept on Reed Blank. I did not have the same confidence in Reed Blankenship that you did and that the organization did. So I will take the L there. I think that they could have a rotation with that group, but I still think it's going to be Sidney Brown.
Now, do you think they could keep all five?
I think they could. I think if they keep four, if they keep five at corner, they can keep five at safety. So they can cut Ricks and keep and go deeper at safety. I do think they can do that.
I also think you could justify it that, you know, Terrell Edmonds is maybe your fourth linebacker. So mm-hmm. if you go three linebackers, you could keep five safeties. I don't know if Kayvon Wallace is going to be on the team. It's the final year of his rookie deal. Mm-hmm. Have they seen all they need to see? I think he's had a pretty good summer. He's probably made more plays than Terrell Edmonds has. It feels a little silly to keep all five of those guys. But I don't know. I think I'm sort of reaching to figure out who deserves the last like two or three spots on the roster. And I think it might be a fifth safety. Hmm. All right. Our question here, Turkeys to the Castle, who will be the week one starting safety pairing? Will it be Reed Blankenship and Terrell Edmonds? Will it be Reed Blankenship and Sidney Brown? Will it be Sidney Brown and Terrell Edmonds, or will it be other? As you alluded to in our initial one, for Blankenship Edmonds, I had 47. You had 10. For Blankenship Brown, I had 43. You had 39. For Brown Edmonds, I had 5. You had 41. And for other, I had 5. You had 10. How do you break it down now?
So obviously my Blankenship ones are going to be heavy here. So I could take out Brown Edmonds. So 0 for that, which is what I went 41 on. Okay. And this is really split up hard. I'm going to go with 40 for Blankenship Brown. Okay. I'm going to go with 30 for other. So that's Blankenship Evans, and then 30 for Blankenship Edmonds Blankenship Evans is 30. Then Blankenship Edmonds is 30 as well.
Okay. I have 35 on Blankenship Edmonds to your 30. I like I said, I'm leaning that it's not going to be Brown week one. So I have 25 on Blankenship Brown. You have 40. And then I have 40, the plurality of my turkeys on other, which would be Evans. Right now I'm leaning Justin Evans. And maybe that's just overreacting to what we've seen in practice the last 2 days. That's a little bit recency bias. I think he might be the steadiest combination of skills for them as long as he's healthy, which he is. And also great form as a field goal kicker, Zach.
Yes. How about that?
It was the highlight of camp.
Yeah.
They ended practice yesterday. Like Sirianni was opening invitations to who wants to be the emergency kicker. And I believe 4 players tried out. The first was Marcus Mariota, who shanked it to the left. Looked like one of his passes. The next was Boston Scott, who knocked it over. The next was Cam Jurgens, who towed it over. A behemoth of a boot, but, you know, sort of the form you might expect from an offensive lineman. Then came Justin Evans with beautiful form. His was the best looking. And so 3 guys made it. Sirianni said, all right, let's get a snap. Let's get an offensive line. Let's get a defensive line. Let's make it look a little bit more like it would look in a game. Boston Scott goes, pulls it a little bit left. Cam Jurgens toes it off the right upright, and Justin Evans misses way left as well. So nobody made it. And Nick said, all right, well, I guess we'll just go for 2. So there you go. Fun stuff. All right.
How would you do with that?
Okay. I used to be good at it, but then when we did the beat writer one, when I still worked for the team, I think I nailed my first one and then shanked my second one. So I guess I pulled an Evans.
Pulled an Evans. There you go.
Last one, Zach, punter. As you said, Ty Zentner has been waived, but there are, I believe, 6 other punter competitions still going on across the NFL. So will the Eagles punter week one be Aaron Sipos, or will it be other? What do you think?
Oh, so 70 with Sipos here, but I still think 30% chance they're scanning the rest of the league and they go with other.
It could be a good opportunity for you to get some points because I went 58 on Sipos and 42 on other. We talked to Aaron Sipos yesterday. Yep. He was very very open and honest about how difficult the post Super Bowl timeline was for him. He took it pretty hard. You know, he was pretty good until he got injured last year. But I also think it's a spot where they could upgrade, and I don't know enough about. Maybe we need the Puntalytics guys on it. I don't know enough about the other competitors in these 6 competitions league-wide, but I wouldn't be surprised if they add somebody instead.
It's a shame how he got injured too.
Yeah.
Right? Like making a tackle. Yeah. So.
Yeah. All right, Zach. Well, I guess we will see how these turkeys fare. We'll add it up once, I guess, after week one. But what a ride. How you doing?
Doing well. Okay. How are you?
I'm good.
We need to have Kent on for a second. He wants to make a clarification.
Oh.
I meant poke the Facebook poke. That's what I meant.
Oh, yeah, we understand.
Yeah, that's what we thought, too.
Yeah, okay. I didn't want people to think I was making the euphemism there.
But did you really poke every single one?
I went to a pretty small school the first year. So, okay. Yeah, I made it a point to, like, poke every girl, make every girl feel wanted, you know?
Miss 100% really of the shots you don't take.
Exactly. Worked out really well for me. Made a lot of friends.
Okay.
Good for you, Kent.
So take that advice if poke still exists. I don't have Facebook either, so no idea.
The two, I would say, and Zach might agree with this because he's got a lot of, positive affirmation sayings. He's got a lot of good advice. I think the two most important pieces of advice in life, poke everybody. And whenever you get somewhere new, find the toughest guy and punch him in the nose.
Amen.
Right, Zach?
No, I think I would say the most important thing is be a good person all the time. Not some of the time, all the time. And then, that's what I say. Do the right thing all the time.
Mm-hmm. Okay. C'est la vie. Okay. All right. That'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. We've got a joint practice tomorrow to talk about. We should be live again around 3:00, which has been our normal training camp time. And then after that, it's game time. And then roster time. Who are you most excited to see on the Colts tomorrow, Zach?
Oh, good question. Anthony Richardson, of course. Right? Mm-hmm. That's the style. That's like the what I would call the ESPN answer. You know, play to the stars, right? But outside of that, I would say DeForest Buckner against the interior Eagles O-line.
Oh, okay, that's a good one. Yeah.
Who are you thinking?
Steiko, gotta get eyes on our boy. I'm looking to see. I don't know that they have any besides Gardner Minshew. Any other down roster ex Eagles on this? Oh no, they do, but he's on injured reserve. Can you name the other ex Eagle on the Colts?
I haven't looked at their roster yet today, so no. Who is it?
It is. One of the best trades the Eagles have made, Jannard Avery.
Ah, Jannard Avery. Okay. Revenge practice for Jannard.
Except he's on injured reserve.
Yeah. Shane Steichen saw so much from him, wanted to bring him with him.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. Pryor is in San Francisco. By the way, real quick, one thing I just want to shout out. Greg Bishop from Sports Illustrated wrote an awesome Jalen Hurts story. I just want to give that a shout out. I thought it was a good piece and reveals a lot about Jalen in there.
Okay.
Yeah.
You already tweeted about it. You know, it's okay.
Hey, the Syracuse Mafia sticks together, right?
Apparently.
Yeah.
Okay. One day I'll tell you about the other fun part of the Petullo story. We can save that for another time.
Oh, we should do the director's cut on the Petullo story.
It's okay. We'll save it for another time. We can talk about it tomorrow. We're already over an hour.
Okay. Was this a new leaf for Bo?
It's okay. All right. That'll do it for this episode of Birds with Friends. For Zach and Kent and all those poked ladies, I'm Bo. We thank you for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And as always, we love you. Birds with Friends.